mentioned before, but thank you to every guest that is here. We're honored that you would worship the Lord with us at Heaven View. If you're from this area, we want to get to know you. I know there are some from out of town, and we're thrilled for those that have come from maybe great distances. I was not born in North Carolina, but I got here as quick as I could. And I have a home church in New York City, and a good number of those folks that have family here are here today. And we're glad you're here, just passing through, just visiting, and we're thrilled. And I owe a debt to that church, to the leadership and to the saints of God that really were my family growing up, helped me become more of what God wanted me to be. Thrilled for them to be here today. And all of you, this is a wonderful, wonderful day to receive what you need from God. And you don't have to be a member of this church to join us for prayer here at the end of the message and just pour out your soul to Jesus Christ. And if you give him all of you, he'll give you something great from him that will change your life forever. He'll give you all he has for you today. And there'll be a whole lot more where that comes from. In fact, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never been baptized by immersion in Jesus' name, we have the water ready. We have the robes ready. You don't have to join this church. You just got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because baptism is not about joining a church. It's about having all your sins washed away and taking on the name of Jesus. I want to be covered by the name of Jesus. I want to be identified with the name of Jesus. Praise God. So please take advantage of that opportunity today. This is one of those old-fashioned places where we believe that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you still speak with other tongues just like they did in the Bible. We don't tell you what words to say. We don't coach you, but when you repent of your sins, as you worship the Lord, he has promised that his spirit would be like a well of living water flowing through you. And man, if you got the Holy Ghost, just wave your hand so they know I'm not making this up. Look around. Come on. The Lord has promised he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And he is doing that. And it's a promise for every single one of us. Also want to say to this church family, and I know I'm taking a little bit of time, but thank you for all that you're doing behind the scenes and outside of Sunday to serve. Certainly on Sunday, you're doing a lot too, but this week we had some special services. You did an awesome job getting around, helping others, blessing. It was a wonderful time. The ministry team that got together here Thursday night, thank you for committing to ministry. You do a great job around here, and we could not be Heaven View without each of you. So thank you for your commitment. If you are in ministry and could not make the meeting, please contact the church office after today, sometime this week, maybe even Wednesday evening. Stick around a few minutes. We have a small gift for you if you are in ministry. Want to make sure that you get that as well. Also, I've heard that some ladies are getting ready to go to ladies' conference. Thank you, all of you ladies that are going. I think it's in March, somewhere around the 24th, 25th, 23rd. And I know it's a sacrifice of time and money to go, but it's awesome. And we are a better church when you ladies come back from ladies' conference and you just infuse the atmosphere with fresh faith, and we are blessed. So we appreciate that very much. Also, on Wednesday night, we had a guest speaker here, Brother Aaron Bounds. He preached some marvelous messages this week. But he talked about a season in his church. We've done this before, but when he talked about it, I felt like we need to do it again, where they just unplugged from the world, got away from social media, got away from entertainment, all that junk. And they just gave that time to the Lord. So I've asked the church beginning Wednesday to take the next 30 days and just unplug and give yourself to the Lord. I know you got to do things like text your family, make sure everything's okay, and you got to use your computers for work. I'm not trying to get you all weirded out, but I do think if we can turn off the world for the next 30 days, God is going to do something great And so we appreciate you that can join us with that. It will be awesome. And 30 days from now, I would expect, I feel like God's ready to do something great here today, but it's just going to get better and better and better. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to look to the word of the Lord for just a little bit. I had a great Sunday school class this morning. They reminded me I preach long. They didn't say it, but when the subject came up, they kind of nodded. You know what I'm saying? I got the message. So what was going to be a message today is automatically now part one and part two. So you're going to get part one now and then part two, hopefully next Sunday. But I appreciate them helping me out, because I'd like for most of you to stick around at least till it's over. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10, we'll look at this verse today and then next Sunday, Lord willing. I'd like for us to read it out loud here in the King James Version. It's got a lot to it, but we can get through it. Let's read together, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. We love the grace of God, don't we? Well, this verse makes it clear that grace is powerful stuff. So I'd like to preach to you this Sunday and Lord willing next Sunday. By God's grace, I am. And by God's grace, I can. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, we want the power of the Holy Ghost. Church, help me pray right now. We need more than just the words of a man. We need Jesus to speak to our hearts. Let's pray out loud together in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we're trusting you right now for victory.
Amazing grace, God.
God, I want to be a vessel. I want to see your spirit poured out in this place today, God. Let's one more time just worship the Lord and thank him for his word, for his presence, for his power to heal and to help and to bless. Hallelujah! I love you, Jesus! Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. May be seated. In seeking the Lord to try to convey a thought to you today, I was reminded that so many of us enjoy the gift of sight. And yet when you look at it even just a little bit, you really come to grips with the reality that just the ability to see is an incredible miracle from God for all of us. I don't know, maybe somebody here this morning had a little bowl of cereal. You might have just glanced at the back of the cereal box, read what was there maybe for the thousandth time, but you couldn't do that if you couldn't see. Perhaps like me and probably many of you, as you were watching your kids get in the car, you just admired how beautiful they are. And if you're a husband, you were saying, thank God for my wife, because my kids would not look near as. Now I got a daughter that's getting older. She can kind of look after herself. But I tell you what, when they were small, you wouldn't want me to dress them and bring them to church. But I am their not so secret admirer. But if I couldn't see, I could not be captivated by that beautiful scene. Is there anybody that can recall the beauty of a sunrise or a sunset, maybe even the last time you saw a rainbow? All of this is connected to the fact that God, by your grace, you have allowed me to see. I got to admit, I don't always thank him for that. I don't even think about it. I just hope that when I wake up and my eyes pop open, they'll be working the way they did the day before. Perhaps You are like me, and there are times that you have opened your Bible and page after page, God has been able to speak to us, but that revelation has come because of the gift of sight. All of this is possible because God has been good to us. Now, I didn't memorize this, but I just want to throw a couple of things at you that may be kind of technical, but it will just help you get a little bit of a grasp at how incredible it is when light rays are reflected off of objects, and then they bounce right into our eyes through the cornea. Our pupils are involved. I'm not going to explain all that, but that light gets into the lens of our eyes, and that lens of our eyes begins to focus all of those light rays and then send them to our retina. And they say there are millions of nerve cells that are activated and working because God, by His grace, has given us this ability so that those cells can process the light rays and help us to understand and differentiate between colors and details. And then there's some rods and cones. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just reading what I read. These rods and cones get involved and they communicate to our nerves and they send impulses that process all of this and help us to interpret those light rays so that we can actually see an image. Like I'm looking at some really good looking people right now. But it's because it's working the way it's supposed to work. It's a gift from God. It's the grace of God. And all of it happens at the speed of light, so that we can see in real time. Why are you talking about that, Pastor? I'm talking about that because I want you to say, wow, grace has touched my life. In just this one little area, the reality that I can see, I can say that's a miracle. God has been good to me. So the next time you sing, oh, say, can you see? That's the grace of God right there. Amen? I know it sounds a little bit simple, maybe even silly, but we all know that there are some that cannot see. There are some that have never seen, but so many see so much. And today I'm trying to remind you that is a gift. That is a miracle. That is the grace of God. Let me explain it this way. I know some really, really poor people that see just as well as some really wealthy people. So I got this sight and it didn't come because of money. It's the grace of God. I know some people that are not really all that educated, and yet they can see even better than some of those that are actually intellectual giants. You ever seen some of those real smart people with those thick glasses? No offense. I'm just saying you don't get smart enough to earn the privilege to see. It's the grace of God. You don't get rich enough to have the privilege of sight. It's the grace of God. There are people in third world countries that can see as good as people in first world cities, some even better. Red and yellow, black and white, they all enjoy the gift of sight. Are you getting the message? I'm saying sometimes we say grace and it just kind of slips in and slips out. But in just that one little area of our life that sometimes we don't even think about, but man, it has brought us so much joy and so much abilities. We must acknowledge that God has been good to us. Because so many of us see good, and you even look good, I might add. But it's all because of His grace. Did you earn it? Absolutely not. It was a gift from God. That's what grace is. Is there some way that you were able to maybe even convince or bargain with the Lord? Not at all. Can I tell you something that may be a disservice to the pastor? Did you know that sinners can see as good as saints can see? Sure. In a lot of cases, there's no difference. Did you know, this is going to shock some of you, but churchgoers can see, but so can atheists. It's just the grace of God. In other words, you know what? Whether you go to church or not, God's been good to you. Whether you're a believer or not, the grace of God has impacted your life. Now, I've twisted this a little bit, but in this context, consider this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I could be blind, but wow, I see. That's the grace of God. On spiritual people, on carnal people, on religious people, on hedonistic people, God's grace is so awesome and it showers all of us and all of them. We are here today and we can see because of God's grace. It is in that context that I want you to consider the Apostle Paul when he makes this wonderful declaration, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. If God's grace is responsible for my gift of sight, what if God's grace is responsible for this gift of life? That the way my hands work and the way my feet work and the way my brain works and the way my life works. Maybe even though I don't always think about it, maybe I am here by the grace of God. And maybe you don't have to be a pastor or a preacher. Maybe every person living and breathing on the planet, if they stop long enough, they could say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Why don't we all take a moment and say, thank you, Lord, because of my sight, and thank you, Lord, because of my life. By God's grace, I am. Praise God. And just as an aside, if you can see what I mean, it's only by the grace of God you can see it. We didn't earn it. And I may say we don't deserve it. That's how it is with God's grace. Everything we have, God has been good to me. Now, I want to take this in a little bit of different direction right now because I think I've talked about sight enough that you can at least acknowledge and remember. God, maybe I don't say much about it to you, but the fact that I can see, thank you for that. The fact that I can see, Lord, and I've been seeing for a long time, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your amazing grace. I'm so thankful that I can see because blindness is such a tragedy. But there is a blindness that is even more debilitating than natural blindness. And we read about it in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 4. The scripture says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If somehow, some way, something inside of you has motivated you on any level to live for God, I want you to know that's proof that you can see. Somehow you have seen, wow, there's something about Jesus. I got to get him in my life. I got to make sure that he's large and in charge. If you can see that on any level, that's the grace of God. Because that scripture speaks of the God of this world blinding people. Can I just name him for a moment? It may make you think I'm old-fashioned, but I believe the God of this world is Satan himself. And he will use sin and circumstance to make us blind to the grace of God. Until good people, smart people, might be so in the dark concerning his amazing grace. I'm not saying they're murderers. I'm not saying they're full of the devil. But I am saying they just can't see that Jesus really matters enough to give their life to him. They just can't see that they should carve out some space to draw nearer to the Lord every day. It's as though they start to believe because of blindness, I am what I am by myself. You understand what I'm saying? They can become so blind as though they believe I am a self-made man. My job, my family, my education, my life is because of me. That's blindness. Because even the gift of sight that's made it possible for them to enjoy all of that, it was the grace of God. But they don't even see it. They live as though, I got this. It's my life. I'm good. You know that church stuff, that's a crutch. You know what I'm saying? It's for people that are weak. I don't need that. That's blindness. So if in some way you have escaped, in some way you see the Lord, I urge you not just to celebrate natural sight, but acknowledge that grace has impacted your life to such a degree that you don't just see naturally, you can actually see spiritually. And it's a big deal, folks. By God's grace, I am. By God's grace, I can. There are some, and I don't want to sound disrespectful and certainly not judgmental, but if you think about it, there are some whose mantra is, I can do it my way. And you know what? They seem pretty successful. But I see blindness in that. Because on every basic level, if it wasn't for the grace of God, they could not be educated. They could not have a livelihood. They couldn't even go to a job. They couldn't even have the mental or physical capabilities to do all that stuff that impresses them about themselves. I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to be blind today. I thank God for his grace. Because there are some, and they are good people. They're not evil people. They're just people. But they don't even see what God can do for them. They don't even see how good church can be for them. They don't even see a need for that religion stuff. That's why the scripture says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that don't believe. You know who some of them are. I'm not saying judge them. I'm not saying curse them. I'm just saying celebrate that somewhere God has not just blessed you with natural sight, but by his grace, he's given you spiritual sight, and it presses you forward in the will of God to the degree that you can say with the great of apostle, I am what I am by the grace of God. This blindness can be so severe that people can lack judgment. I'm not trying to make fun, and it's amazing how people that are blind can learn to get along. I see them in airports. I see them in downtown areas, and they just seem to have a way. But can you imagine if you were blind, you couldn't judge the next step you should take, whether it was good or bad, whether it was right or wrong. If you were blind, there would be no way. Someone would have to train you or lead you. And spiritually, there are people that cannot even judge if they're doing the right thing for their life or the right thing for their family. They're not bad people. They don't deserve that kind of blindness. I'm just saying, somehow, by God's grace, we do not have to be included in that number today. In describing this blindness, the prophet Isaiah said, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but we behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as though we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. And because of that blindness, we are in desolate places like dead men. What good is life if I can't see? What good is life if I don't know where to go? What good is life if I can't even make the best choice for my family, for my soul?" That's why we today should celebrate. By God's grace, I am what I am. By God's grace, I'm not sitting here in the dark. It's a big deal, folks. It's an awesome blessing, folks. It is the grace of God. How did it happen? Look at 2 Corinthians 4. "God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Hey, I thank God I got enough sight to read the back of the cereal box, but I'm so thankful that somewhere in my journey I've been baptized with spiritual light so I can see Jesus. I can see his will. I can see his plan. I can see his work. I can see. I can see. I can see by the grace of God. Oh, let's all clap our hands. Let's all thank the Lord. I am what I am by God's grace. I see what I see because of grace. So many that cannot see, they're living the dream, but they're living in the dark because they've been blinded by the night. If I can't see that my next step will plunge me down, I'm living the dream. And that's how people are that haven't seen Jesus. They're living life their own way, but grace is reaching for them. The same grace that reached for you is reaching for them. Come on, grace is not just for a select few. Grace is not just for this class of people or that nationality. No, grace from God is for everybody everywhere. That we all might see, because this light that shines from Jesus Christ is still the driving force that keeps Christianity relevant in every age. Jesus Christ still opens blinded eyes. Jesus Christ still sets the captive free. Jesus Christ still saves the lost. You want to see the grace of God? Look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus is speaking and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Throughout the ages since Calvary, Jesus Christ has been opening opening the eyes of the blind so that they can see the light of his love, the light of his truth. All of that is because of grace. And in every age, in every place, that grace still works today. Until this congregation is filled with people that can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but thank God I see. Amen. So by God's grace, I am. There was a man, this is going back quite a ways. Some of you have heard his story. His name was John Newton. He lived in 1725 through to 1807. His own testimony about himself. He said, I was arrogant, I was insubordinate, and I was living with moral abandon. He said, and this is a quote from his own writings, I sinned with a high hand, and I made it my study to tempt and seduce others. By his own testimony, as a slave trader, he was a very evil person until that blindness was wiped away by the grace of God, and he could see. And the slave trader became a minister of the gospel and a songwriter who penned those famous words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And that's why so many of us through the ages have joined in that chorus, because we know without the grace of God, I am a wretch. Without the grace of God, I am lost. Without the grace of God, I am blind. But by God's grace, I am what I am. And I'm here to tell you, his grace still amazes me, because I can see, and you can see, and we can see by God's grace. Oh, could you clap your hands? And could you let out a shout? Come on. That grace is here. That grace is here. That grace is here. That grace is here. Sunday school class, I'm watching the clock. I got less than 10 minutes, but I'm on my way. So the Apostle Paul, he could say it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I hated Christians. I wanted to see Christians killed. But in that next verse, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm so glad that God doesn't judge us for the life we lived when we were blind and we could not see him. We could not see his word. We could not see his will. Paul said, I am the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church. But by God's grace, I am. In another place, and I want you to see this, Ephesians 3, verse number 8. Again, Paul is speaking. He says, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can you see what's happening there? As I became acquainted with the grace of God, As my eyes were opened and I could see, I thought, I'm the least of all these other apostles. I'm only here by God's grace. And then as God began to use me and I began to see things, I began to realize, you know, really, forget about all them leaders. I'm the least of all the saints. I'm only here by God's grace. I am by God's grace. And then one more passage, 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, Paul again speaks and he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Then he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. We all ought to accept the reality of these words, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The more I come in contact with the grace of God, the more he opens my eyes and I see I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm the least of all the church leadership. I'm the least of all the saints. In fact, if you want to know who I am, I'm the worst sinner of the bunch. I am what I am because of grace. Oh, that God would open our eyes today, that you would refuse the lie of the devil that says you are stuck in the place where you are because of your sin and because of your past and because of your mistakes and because of your failures. Oh, that you would be able to see and know I am what I am by the grace of God. And if that great God called Jesus Christ, if he will receive me today, if he will save me today, I will serve him. By his grace I am, and by his grace I can. Can you say in Jesus' name? This is just a little bonus for this wonderful church family. The more you see, the less you are impressed with you, and the more you are impressed with grace. The more I see, the less I am impressed with me, and the more I am impressed with his grace. It is such a high honor to pastor and to step behind this pulpit on a Sunday, but don't you ever be deceived. Some of you, maybe you cannot see, but I'm not even the least of the apostles. I'm not even the least of the saints. I am the chiefest of sinners. And if I teach a Bible study or preach a message, I always want to remember, by God's grace I am. And by God's grace I can. In fact, you may notice that those new folks that come in, they get so captivated by God's grace that they worship and they don't care what you think. I want to be just like that. Because the more I see, the more I realize my position is nothing. I just have the grace of God. My gifts are nothing. I just have the grace of God. My family's nothing. I just have the grace of God. My education is nothing. I just have the grace of God. My money is nothing. I just have the grace of God. My talent is nothing. But oh, what I am by the grace of God. Come on, every teacher ought to clap their hands. Every singer ought to clap their hands. Every minister ought to clap their hands and say, by God's grace, I am By God's grace, I can. Oh, let's clap our hands and let's shout unto God. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. And so I close. Awesome God, amen. The grace of God helps us see what so many cannot see. Even in Christian circles these days, you hear good people say, I don't see anything wrong with that. Sure. I don't see that that really matters. By God's grace, whatever he lets me see, I just got to be thankful. I just got to be grateful. Because even some good people cannot see what he lets me see. I'm not going to judge him. I'm not going to condemn him. But I'm not going to be blind either. I'm going to thank God for the gift of sight. And whatever he lets me see by his grace, I'm going to walk in the light and in the revelation of who he is. Titus 2, verse 11. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. Whoa, I can see. Grace is showing me stuff. What an awesome God. It's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. I'm not looking at the world with this gift of sight. I'm looking for his coming. That's what I'm looking for. And that sight has caused me to live with the reality of verse 14, that Jesus gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I don't care who says I don't see what's wrong with that. I don't care who says I don't think it really matters. Who says I don't see why that's a big deal. All I know is that he has given me so much grace that I've got to walk in the revelation that he lets me see, because it's a gift. And in preparing the world for his coming, Jesus said in Luke 17, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Jesus said, you want to know how it's going to be before I come back? It's going to be like the days of Noah. Now think of the days of Noah for just a moment. No doubt one of his neighbors might have been heard to say, Noah, I just don't see what you're seeing. I mean, you're a nice guy. I know you love God, but I don't see me getting my family in that ark. There's no way I see that happening. I just don't see it, Noah. Now, Noah, we've been friends a long time. You seem like a real godly individual, but I just don't see that that really matters as much as you think it matters, Noah. I mean, that's crazy, Noah. I just don't see it. That's how it was in the days of Noah. And a flood was coming to destroy everybody. Judgment was coming, but so many couldn't see it. How could Noah see what so many could not see? Look at Genesis 6. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. In fact, if you go to the bottom of that verse, it says, it repented me that I even made them. But this is how Noah could see what nobody else could see. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Whatever God lets you see, don't listen to the people that haven't seen it. Don't judge them. Don't condemn them. But don't you be blind. Get them in the ark. Get them in the ark. Do whatever it takes to let them know what you see. I know some of you, I don't know who you are, so I'm not talking about you if this is you. I just know in a crowd this size, there are some of you that say, I love that heaven view, but I just don't see where that's a big deal. I don't see why they make such a big deal about this. I don't see why they teach that. Be careful. Be careful. Because there's a reason why God led you to 1410 West Clemensville Road. There's a reason why you have an opportunity to see what so many people haven't seen. And we're not going to judge the world. And we're not going to condemn the world. But we're not going to be blind. Whatever we see, we're going to share it. We're going to live it. We're going to love it. Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You can stand. And there are some very good people that just can't see repentance. But I've seen it. There's some very good people that just can't see the need to walk through a changing room and put on a robe and come out here and be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus. Even some Christians say, I don't see that matters much anymore. In fact, if you were baptized as a baby, that's fine. Or perhaps you were baptized in some religious tradition and that's good. No. You don't see what I've seen. Because in the Bible, the scripture says, and this is just one of many, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you don't see that, let the light of the Lord and let the grace of God and let the word of God shine in your life today. Put up that last scripture from Hebrews 11. Let's read it out loud together. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Stop right there. Whoa. Noah said, you know what? God showed me some things, and a lot of people haven't seen it, but I'm going to obey. Because even though they haven't seen it yet, when they see it, there needs to be a people that are prepared for what God has promised. So he moved with fear. Let's read again. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Just leave that verse there. Some of you have seen some things. And when you share those things, people think you're condemning them. It's been happening for a long time. Just love them, respect them, but don't pretend you don't see it. Don't pretend you don't see it. Get ready for the coming of the Lord. Get ready for the coming of the Lord. And I know that's a word that we don't like in Christian circles today, but move with fear. In other words, if the Bible says repent, then you know what? I'd be scared not to repent. If the Bible says be baptized in the name of Jesus, I'd be scared not to be baptized. If the Bible says that when you repent and you're baptized, you'll receive the Holy Ghost, I'd be scared not to have the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I just know when I see it, God wants me to have it. Would you bow your heads with me and together let's cry out to the Lord. I know I took a few more minutes than I wanted to, but I'm trying to prepare somebody right now for the grace of God to come into your heart right now and let you see what maybe you've struggled to see, and let you see what some said, it don't matter, it's no big deal. Some people have wondered at what you've already been looking at and they've thought, well, come on. Don't act like that's all that important. Come on, if you see it, obey it. Come on, church family, would you help us pray right now that revelation would come? Would you help us pray right now that revelation would come all across this building, that there would be some today that would say, I see it. I've never seen it like this before, but I see it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Come on, church family. I want you to confess your appreciation for what you see in your own prayer right now to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I see repentance and I thank you for your grace. I see baptism and I thank you for your grace. I see the Holy Ghost and I thank you for the grace. I see holiness and I thank you for grace. I see separation from the world and I thank you for grace. I see that the Word of God is relevant in my generation. I see it and I thank you for it, God. I am what I am by your grace. I have what I have by your grace. I see what I see by your grace. Now everybody come. If you want to see something from the Lord today, just come and raise your hands and say, I want your grace, Lord, to let me see something. I want your grace to show me something right now. Everybody come. Guest, why don't you come quickly and just raise your hands and raise your voice and say, by the grace of God, I am what I am, but I want to be so much more. Let me see something today I've never seen before. Let me see something today I've never seen before. Come on, everybody come. Everybody come. Everybody come and celebrate the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God.